Hello and welcome to Mike's Camera Action. I'm Carl and I'm joined by...
Alex.
And this week we're continuing our Oscars 2019 coverage with The Favourite.
Yeah, this is the favourite of the ones I've seen so far.
Oh, you think it was better than Black Panther?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Or did you enjoy it more than Black Panther, or did you...
This is my favourite to win so far.
Okay, so you just think it's got a better chance to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why I like the inclusion of Black Panther into the Oscars lineup,
yep.
I don't see it winning.
That's fair.
There are certain genres that don't win Oscars, and sadly, superhero films are one of them.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you.
Unless you're Suicide Squad and it's best makeup.
That's the thing, though. Like, once again, popcorn movies, like superhero movies, action movies, that kind of stuff, they don't win Best Picture, they don't win Best Director, they don't win Best Cinematography, but visual effects they win.
Yeah.
Sound mixing they win, score they win, costume and makeup.
Not if you're an Avengers movie, because their score is always incredibly average.
Yeah, their scores are never like exciting or brilliant in any way, but that's the stuff they can win. You know, like we see Star Wars win those ones as well. You never see Star Wars coming home with Best Director.
No, you know? That's on you, George Lucas.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, though. I think Favourite's got a better chance to win. Of the ones we've seen so far, so Black Panther and Vice, I think Favourite's got a better chance to win the Best Picture.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I enjoyed Black Panther and as much as I enjoyed Vice, I still think this has got a better shot.
Yeah, although I think I definitely feel that Roma will win.
Yeah?
But Roma's the film for next week.
Yeah. Which will come out just in time for the Oscars.
Yeah. Yeah, because at the BAFTAs... which is the British Academy Film Awards.
Yep.
The Favourite being a British film.
Clear.
It won Best Supporting Actor, Best Actress, Best British Film, Best Costume Design, Best Makeup and Hair, Best Original Screenplay, Best Production Design, but not Best Film.
Oh, shit.
It lost to Roma.
Oh, really? Roma was in that too?
Yeah. It also lost Best Direction to Roma as well.
Okay, we got a repeat of last year then.
Yeah. I get the feeling that it's probably one of the... Yeah, lost to Roma as well.
Huh.
So I think Roma's just a solid chance.
We could get another Shape of Water situation.
It also lost Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, really?
To Emma Stone lost it to Rachel Weisz.
Oh, okay. So Rachel Weisz won and Emma Stone didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can only win one.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But so Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone both got the BAFTA nominations.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I think they're both nominated for an Oscar as well.
Oof, yeah.
Yeah. So they're running against each other again.
Yeah, but this film is...
And then I take it the actress for Queen Anne won Best... I'm assuming took Best Actress?
Yeah, Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
Yeah, she won Best Actress, which is not surprising because her performance was really good in it.
Oh, she did fantastic.
Yeah, all the main cast in this film were fantastic.
Mm. I thought the acting's brilliant in this movie. It's definitely worth seeing. So I had an interesting... I told you this earlier, but I had an interesting situation when I saw this movie because I found out after I'd seen it that my parents had both seen it before me, and so they had some very strong opinions on it.
Oh, yeah?
So my dad really liked it, but the only thing he could tell me was, I thought the dialogue was really good, which I thought it was.
Yeah.
It's really well written.
Yeah.
The characters feel super witty, and it's well done. But my mom hated it.
Yeah.
She thought it was too crude. She thought it was... And here's one of the things I liked about it, which was that it felt like I was watching a play, but on screen.
Yeah.
There's this great way it's shot where characters will deliver their lines and then they'll have this really long holding shot on the person they're talking to for their reaction. Like, really long shots.
Yeah.
And it just makes you get, like, the whole... Like, you managed... It gives you the person delivering their lines and their... like emotion and all that just in full.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the other person and just holds on them as if you're getting as if you're doing like a sight, like it's like doing shot, reverse shot.
Yeah.
Except you're doing shot, hold for the entire line, reverse shot, hold.
Yeah. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Like that's what I liked about it though. Like there was so much emotion in this.
Yeah.
And like the dialogue did come off a bit crude.
Yeah.
At the start, cause like, at the start, you're not quite sure where this film is going. Like, I didn't see the trailer for it
because
I tend not to watch the trailer for things.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Avengers.
unless it's one of those big movies coming out. Yeah.
Or someone's like, watch this and see if you want to go see it.
Fair.
But yeah, I saw The Favourite. I was like, nominated for Best Director as well. Let's go see it. And so I'm like, I'm not sure where this film is going in terms of like style. And then they just start swearing.
Yeah.
The word cunt is dropped and it's like, oh it's just this sort of, out there. It's like, this is the film I'm watching now.
Yeah. How many references to rape can they do? Like, just keep a count. Take a shot every time you hear the word rape and then just see where you get.
Oh, Jesus.
How quick does it take before you get your stomach pumped? Half an hour in? Cool.
Yeah, maybe. Or how long until they just like, all right, okay.
Right then, okay.
But yeah, no, it's... It wasn't a bad film though, because I did like the fact that they weren't that prim and proper that you see in some period films.
Yeah, there was like sort of the everyone there had like, despite being like ladies and lords and very like higher class people, they're still people and they're still assholes.
Like with Harley, the first time you see him is all like prim and proper, and then like later on he pushes Abigail into a ditch.
Just shoves her.
And then later on he sees her crying and he's clearly uncomfortable by her crying, even though it's completely fake.
Yeah.
And then even after that, later on you see all of the, I think they're the Whigs.
Yeah.
They're not the Tories. They're the Whigs. Just throwing oranges at this poor naked man. Yeah,
just chucking oranges at him for sport. Why not?
Can you imagine being the guy that is orange naked man?
Naked man being pelted by oranges. Yeah, it's just like... my credits.
It was just... I was like, all right. And it's... But my favorite thing, though, is that scene is interspersed with, like, Abigail looking prim and proper walking down the hallway.
Yep.
And it's like... What?
I'm a lady, and we're hucking oranges at a naked man till he falls over.
Yeah. Like, and my favorite thing, though, was at that point, the mole on Harley's face was actually a lion.
Yeah. Just sculpt that stuff.
Because they all put in fake moles anyway. Like,
what is with the fake moles?
I don't know. It was a weird fashion thing. It was a fashion thing during the
period. I just
don't
get it. It's so, like... Mm.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's always been that thing where it's like, so that way it off-puts the perfection sort of thing. Like, it looks like, oh, here's an imperfection, but it's not an imperfection.
With all that heavy caked on makeup.
Yeah, like everything is heavy caked on white. Nicholas Holt is almost unrecognizable playing Harley.
Rips off the wig. Men are supposed to look pretty.
Rips off the wig and it's just the Beast.
Yeah.
Like, hey, guys. He's hanging down from a roof. X-Men jokes. But no, the acting in this...
references Warm Bodies.
Oof. Let's not reference that film.
Let's not.
Love does not cure anything in this film.
No, it really... There isn't really love in this movie. Don't lie to you. Don't lie to people.
No.
There isn't.
There is no love.
No, no one does anything out of love. I really think no one does in this movie, actually. It's always for political gain, really.
Yeah, but I liked that.
Oh yeah, like it's super everyone's super manipulative. Everyone's playing their own games.
Yeah, the only one that I can think there's like this underlying stuff between Lady Marlborough and Queen Anne.
Yeah,
like there's something underlying, but it's clearly been overridden by like Lady Marlborough's desire for political gain.
Yeah, she's clearly doing while there might be some connection there. It definitely feels like she's doing it because it's getting her something in return.
Yeah.
She's basically taking the place of the queen functionally.
Yeah. Although I will admit though, I did like there is love shown in this film and it's between Queen Anne and her rabbits.
Yeah, there you go.
Cause they clearly don't want anything.
Yeah. That's true. The rabbits ask for nothing.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of that's the point that shows where Abigail's character is completely changed.
Yeah.
Because she comes in and she's like, she ends up like, I'd say she ends up corrupted by the place.
Oh, yeah.
By the,
She starts off coming in and she's trying to be the morally upright person.
Yeah.
She's trying to, she says, oh, I've still got my morals to hold on to. She's doing things for other people out of the kindness of her own heart and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, she poisons Lady Mulberry.
Yeah, she poisoned her cousin.
Yeah, she tries to take over her position. She gets her kicked out of the country by manipulating the books.
Yeah,
that's not the morally upright thing to do at all.
Yeah,
as much of a horrible person Lady Mulberry is, She doesn't poison anybody and then eject them from the country along with their partner. That we know of.
But yeah, because you can clearly tell when the when she changes from when... Like when she first sees them, she's happy and playful and it's all a lot of fun. And then later on, you just see it like step on one of them and start crushing it.
What a horrible what a horrible thing to do. Rabbits are like the least horrible creature. Like they're the softest things.
Yeah.
I mean, no harm. She's just like, rah.
I mean, no harm, right. Unless they're in Australia.
Well, unless they're an introduced species.
Yeah, then they're everywhere. They do a lot of harm.
Yeah.
There was definitely that point in the film where you could realize that there was the corruption.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the character that Abigail marries.
Oh, yeah.
Who's like, I don't know what's going on here, but sure. he seems very confused by what's going on half the time.
Yeah, he's just kind of rolling with it.
Like, I think he thought that there was definitely some point where, like, he would get something out of it, and he's not getting anything
He gained nothing from it.
No.
Like, getting married to Abigail basically just got him a wife, and that's it.
And not even, like, a loyal wife?
No, not even. She brought nothing. She brings nothing to the table.
Yeah.
Except the fact that she exists.
Yeah, although, as a side note, because of it, like... The Whigs do get into power.
Yeah.
He does get money from the Queen.
Yeah.
But most of it's being spent on parties and stuff.
Mm.
So stuff that. And he's like, what's the point of this?
Mm.
Yeah, because you can clearly see the regret on his face when at the party.
Yeah.
Not on the bit where Emma Stone just starts giving him a hand job. It's like, it's no our wedding night.
Yeah.
And she just pulls down his pants. Not even just looking at him. No. Which is weird because, like, you see the cameras, like, pointing at Emma Stone.
Yep.
Like, and she's almost looking at the camera, just reached like behind him, dead-eyed, giving this man a hand job, basically.
Oh, God.
And it's like, you just hear his reaction to it, and it's like, what?
That is rough. And you're just sitting there, like, for 2 minutes, just like, please let this end already. Why haven't we cut yet? I get the point. Make it go away.
Yeah, that was the thing. There was a lot of... That was long.
Yeah.
That was quite a long sequence. And it's just...
Filmically.
And it was just Emma Stone looking at this camera.
Yeah, just looking off into the distance, just jerking it.
But I suppose that fits in more to the whole thing being shot like a play rather than a film.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Because you just have this one long lingering shot and it's just...
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
Like,
it's definitely not shot like most traditional movies.
No. And I quite enjoyed it. I know that you have issues
Have issues with the fisheye lens.
Yeah.
It's like, I get that you're getting a wide angle of like most of the hallway as someone's walking down it, like from side on. I get that you're getting like this stretch of like street or like whenever it was used, I kind of get it. But I didn't like it. It just seemed like a fisheye lens is so out of place in that
in context. The period. Yeah.
I feel like I'm expecting someone to do a kickflip or like suddenly burst into a rap video. It just doesn't work.
See,
not something that belongs in movies.
What I felt they needed was a wider angled lens, but that's not a fisheye.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I felt like the fisheye distorted a lot of it.
Exactly. The distortion just throws it off.
Yeah, and I didn't feel it added too much to the narrative or the feel of the film.
I don't know why you would have that instead of just give me a tracking shot.
Yeah.
Or give me a pan or just give me a wider angle without the...
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
I think the wider angled lens would have been the best thing rather than a full fisheye.
Yeah.
Because I could get what they're going for. They're going for this feel, like, including the bit where it's like a play where like you're just watching them walk down something.
Yeah.
Or, like, move through this one still set shot. But the only way to do it was to increase the width. And it just distorts everything.
Yeah. It just, you've got the narrow, wide, narrow. And it just doesn't work. It just looks wrong. It just looks wrong. It looks wrong in a movie to me.
Yeah.
Unless that's, like, a quick action shot or whatever.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
It seems out of place.
It happened
and it makes
a lot
me
in, like, serious points. And I was like,
yeah,
this doesn't add anything to the film.
Yeah. It just seemed to... I don't know. I didn't feel like it was good cinematography.
Yeah, I think that was the only point where the cinematography really let me down.
It was the only part that that's the thing. It was just that one. Everything else was so good, and I noticed like the shot reverse, that kind of like stagecraft stuff. But that wasn't jarring to me. I thought, okay, that's good. Like I didn't notice it until halfway through, and I was like, oh, that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
The fisheye lenses, I picked up on instantly, and every time it came up, I just I just noticed it, and I just hated it. I didn't like that it was on screen.
I think the one thing they really needed was just the wide-angle lens.
Yeah, that would have done it for me.
Yeah, then or everything would have been perfect.
Or just change the way you shoot those sequences so I'm not watching, like, this dumb shot. Like,
yeah, because everything just ends up really distorted. And it, like I said, if it added something to the narrative...
If it gave me something...
Yeah, but it doesn't really...
If it served other purpose than just being there, I would have been fine with it. Like, if there was something that only a fisheye lens could show, then I'd be cool with that. If there were no other way to shoot that kind of stuff, I'd be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, other than that, I think it worked. I think it kind of worked in the hallways.
Yeah?
Like, in the hallways, it kind of worked when they're just walking past and it's relatively fast.
I still feel like you could have shot that differently.
I know, but there was the only one where I really noticed it and I really didn't like it was when the Queen was leaving Parliament.
Yeah.
And she's getting carried off and it was that wide fisheye lens, but the room isn't wide.
Yeah.
And it's like, why didn't you just use an all-camera lens for this?
Mm.
But I suppose part of it might have been technical limitations.
Maybe.
Due to having to make everything seem pretty accurate.
True.
Actually, I will admit, I did like all the settings because they all felt...
Oh, it's
they
pretty
all
and it looked period accurate. Like, yeah. And, you know, it looked old without being debilitated, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but then again, I'm pretty sure it's Kent Castle?
Kensington Palace.
Yeah, Kensington Palace. It's actually where the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a lot of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Princess Eugenie and her husband, the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester, and the Duke and Duchess of Kent, and the Princess Michael of Kent.
Okay.
Yeah, they all live in Kensington. It really did feel accurate sort of thing, but they do keep it accurate. There's public rooms that you can go visit.
Yep.
Because it's owned by one of the historical things. You can't enter the
secret corridor leading to the Queen's bedroom.
No. You can't visit like where they actually live.
Yeah.
Like their apartments, but you can visit the other places. Because it was built by a King William III and Queen Mary II.
Okay.
Yeah. So it felt really accurate.
No, it definitely looked the part.
Yeah, and that's what I liked. I think I've seen pictures of Kensington Palace before, and it really felt like it.
Okay.
Yeah. I liked all the tapestries on the walls and the Queen's bedroom.
Yeah, especially the Queen's bedroom was super pretty with all the paintings and tapestries around. It just had so much, like, despite being, you know, this large room, it had a lot of color and depth to it.
Yeah, and I liked that. It really did feel like someone was living there and like...
Yeah, that's exactly it. It felt both like Baroque and, you know, very decorative, but still lived in.
Yeah, see, just to take this off topic.
Yep.
That's something that's always bothered me about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Is that when in the Hogwarts, it always feels like no one lives there.
Yeah, but it's stone.
No, but like also like there are portraits on the wall that have faded. Like there were wall paintings that have faded in the background. I'm like, no, they should be bright and colorful because someone is still living here and taking care of them.
Yeah, someone should be putting up stuff. You know?
Yeah, someone like there's all these portraits and they're like all fine, but like there's these wall decorations that aren't being taken care of.
Yeah, what are the groundskeepers doing with their lives? Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Hagrid's now the teacher of care of magical creatures. This didn't have that issue. This, everything was still lived in.
It still looked fresh.
It still looked well-maintained. And there's all these, like, people that live there, and I loved them. I love one of the servant women playing pranks on Abigail.
Yeah?
With it being, like, lime and her having her dipping her hands into it.
Giving her a chemical burn all over her hands. That's rough.
And laughing about it. Then there was...
might want to use gloves.
Then there was the footman who got bullied by the Queen.
Aww. Like,
were you looking at me? Look at me. How dare you look at me?
That was one of my favorite parts, was just Queen Anne, like, shredding this young kid who's sitting there just like... Like, Mulberry just dismisses the Queen like, you look like a badger. Get out of here. And she's like, did you just look at me? Why won't you look at me? Look at me! He looks at her and then, how dare you? Like, just tears this poor kid apart. Like,
and then you had that really awkward looking footman.
Yep.
who was like, obviously, like his clothes were a bit too big for him and the wig was really badly fitting him. And it was just this like the old powdered wig that fell down like it's the sort of thing you'd see a barrister wear.
Yeah.
And it just didn't look well. It didn't sit on his head right. And it looked like really awkward. And I loved him. Because there was the bit where he like awkwardly went up to Lady Marlborough and whispered in her ear and then awkwardly went back. It's just nothing but gangly. And I was just like, what is going on here?
That poor man.
A poor kid.
Yeah. Those poor staff.
But yeah, really? So that's the sort of thing that I loved about this film was that there was all these characters there's that lived in this
stuff
thing.
In there, yeah.
Like, you know, there's all the there's all the political stuff about with the there's the guy with the duck, Godolphin.
Oh yeah. Dude, and not only that, so he's got like the fastest duck in England.
Yeah.
But then he visits the brothel with it?
No, he visits a pub. It wasn't the brothel.
Oh, was it not?
No. Okay. Lady Marlborough tells Mistress, the head of the madam,
yeah,
the head of a brothel, I think the head of the brothel that she ended up in,
mm.
To go to this pub and look for the man walking a duck.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like, what?
He just takes it around with him. He never lets his duck leave his sight.
Because it's like, it's going to get kidnapped.
Yeah. Someone's going to duck nap it because it's so fast.
It's the fastest duck in England.
He needs to bet on that duck.
And it's like, it's just this bizarre man walking a duck with a leather leash. Oh.
his most cherished possession.
Exactly. And it was just like, what?
Takes it to all the meetings. God, if ducks could talk, think of what he would say.
Like, you've got that added to it, you know? You've got all these, like, characters that are just, you don't see a lot of them, but you can tell they're, like, people.
Yeah.
Like, you've got all the Tories that are betting on this duck race.
While we're bringing up the politics of it, there's a horrible, like, there's a brilliant yet horrible moment in there where the whole argument they've had for this entire time is the war. Like, this war with the French. Do they sue for peace? Do they call the end? Or do they fight till they force France into a surrender? And Lady Mulready's like, dead on, like, I want this war to go to the end. Like, we've got to conquer France by the end of it. We've got to bleed them. Like, she's willing to put her own husband's life on the line to keep that war going. And there's a brilliant moment where I think it's Nicholas Holt's character, when they're in the process of he's been constantly saying, we're out of money, calling into the war because we can't pay our own soldiers. And either we're going to have to raise taxes to get that money back, or we're going to have to end it. And so the Queen's in the process of signing over a bill to raise taxes. Like, she's got sitting right in front of her, like, here I will propose this bill to double the land taxes and force everyone to pay so much more money and cause riots in the streets and all this kind of stuff. And then and then Holt's character immediately just goes, like, right before she takes the stage, and may we have a moment... A round of applause for the queen, for Queen Anne, who has decided not to raise the taxes, and which will inevitably and goes on this huge rant about how it will be the end of England if she were to raise taxes. And so she's, and then everyone's like applauding and saying, "Hey, good on you, Queen!" And then she's stuck there, and she's just locked in this deadlock, staring at this sheet of paper, saying, "How do I do this? I have to follow that." By doing exactly the thing he just said I wasn't doing.
Yeah.
with the raucous applause. So she just passes out.
Yeah, she just faints.
She just collapses.
Yeah.
There's no way out. Boom.
Yeah, it was certainly interesting. The war is the War of Spanish Succession. I had to look it up because I couldn't remember off the top of my head which one it was. Mm. But yeah, it's how Britain gets like Gibraltar and Majorca.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just, yeah, like the whole war is like, they're all trying to like stop it, but at the same time, like.
You've got some people who really want to fight it. You've got some people who want to end it right now. You've got some people who want to raise taxes or get rid of the taxes, all this kind of stuff.
But I liked that. Like, the whole idea behind it is that like there is this political nature to this film.
Yeah.
That's interspersed with, you know.
And you've got people trying to like you've got all people trying to get a decision from the queen. That's the politics. Like, yeah. Just get her answer and then get out.
The queen is law. She says something, it happens.
Yeah, like you can give your point, but then she says something and you do it.
Yeah, it's done.
So she says, we'll talk about this later. You talk about it later and you shelve it, or she gives an answer and then it's done. And you've got Lady Mulberry and Abigail both, like, whispering in her ear and trying to get different, like, things that they want. Like, Lady Mulberry's constantly pushing for the war.
Marlborough.
Okay, sorry. I have butchered that then. My notes are terrible.
Yeah.
Lady Marlborough.
Yeah, I think the thing I found interesting is that this is clearly before elections happen.
Yeah.
In the UK, because Queen Anne's like, yeah, these people are the government now.
Yep. She has picks. She's like, oh, by the way, he's the Prime Minister. Done.
Yeah. It's not Prime Minister at that point. It's something like...
I thought she said Prime Minister at one point.
Technically, it's First Lord of the Treasury.
Okay. I swear she said Prime Minister.
Possibly, but it's...
Okay.
It's technically not.
Okay.
It's the equivalent of Prime Minister.
Yeah.
But this is, I think, before the Prime Minister actually becomes a thing.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. Don't remember.
Nah, it's all good.
Off the top of my head. But yeah, there was definitely at a point where before it became... Yeah, he was Lord High Treasurer.
Lord High Treasurer.
Yeah, which is effectively the chief minister.
Yeah, okay.
But the first de facto first minister to be prime minister was Robert Walpole in 1721.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
What year was this in again?
Like 1711.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, like, so... Yeah, so it's one of those ones where... it's one of those weird ones where, like, this is during the time in where British politics sort of started to settle down.
Yeah.
The Westminster... Yeah, because 1713 was the end of the Spanish War of Succession.
Yep.
So it's pretty much about when...
Right when that happens, yeah.
Yeah. He was imprisoned in the Tower of London. Oh, huh. Well, you know. But yeah, definitely there was some interesting things.
I also think it's very interesting that, like, despite this war being the backdrop and how prevalent it is, we never see any of it. Like, we never see a single shot fired, a single body from it. We don't get any, like, of the repercussions of the war. We just get, the like, what's going on in the Queen's world.
Yeah.
We never, like, she never has to deal with any of the peasants. She never has to deal with any of the, like, the peons or the soldiers or any of that. They're all completely out of sight.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting one. Like, it was, but like, I suppose it's one of those ones where, like, the war is happening, but it's only a set piece in the overall drama.
Yeah.
Like, it's the motivation that you don't see on screen.
Hmm. But it's interesting that we just don't see any of the repercussions. Like, the only time the Queen has to deal with the effects of it are when people badger her for answers.
Yeah.
That's the only time we get to hear about the war is when she has to deal with it. Which is just, like, people being like, hey, what do the troops do? How do we feed them? This kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was certainly like, how do we feed them? We don't have any money. We raise the land tax. People are going to revolt.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, but I don't want to revolt. And it's clear that at this point, Anne is deteriorating.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of it, you can clearly see she's had a stroke.
Yeah.
She is. She lifts her hand up to look at things and lifts her, like, physically lifts her head. Half her face is drooped.
Yeah. Oh, by the end of it, she's definitely the entire left side of her face is just gone.
But yeah, so there was definitely, like, certainly a lot of stuff that was just going on.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, it takes place like just before like 1708.
Yeah.
Or so, and then 1713.
Yeah. So wow, it's actually over quite a large period.
Yeah, so what it is that there's certainly at some points where there's, like, the Lord High Treasurer and then Commission of the Treasury, and then there becomes Lord High Treasurer again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so the film does take a while, but you don't notice it.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize it had taken place over 5 years at least.
Yeah, it took place over a long period of time. I don't think it was 5 years. It was definitely at least a couple of years.
Yeah.
Though, before...
It doesn't feel it. It seems like this all goes over the course of a week, like, with the pacing of this film.
But, like, it explains how Abigail is meant to integrate herself, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's slow. It's a slow process.
Yeah, and it's at that point where you realize, like, towards the end, you realize... Okay, so what did you think of the ending? I don't think you... I remember we walked out and you were like, what was that ending?
So... What do I think of the ending? It's interesting because Emma Stone's character gets everything she wanted.
Yeah.
But but she still loses. There's this feud going on between her and Sarah, like Abigail and Sarah, and somehow Abigail loses, despite getting everything she was after, which is she kicks out Lady Marlborough.
Yeah.
She becomes Queen Anne's, like, number one.
Yeah.
She takes the title of Lady through marriage. Yeah. Like, regains her noble title. And yet she still loses everything somehow.
Yeah.
She, like, at the end of the day, her job is to flick the royal bean.
Yeah. God damn it, man.
Gonna be as crude as this movie for this episode.
Hell, man. Fuck.
I could do worse.
The rabbits were an interesting choice to cut into that sequence.
I know, right? It's just, yeah, it was such a weird final shot of just like, yeah, it's like this really long take that's kind of like, remember when we saw Mandy, how you had like the fade between faces?
Yeah.
It's like that where you've got Queen Anne and Abigail, and then they bleed in rabbits over more rabbits. So you've just got like a field of rabbits over the top of them.
Yeah.
It was a really weird shot.
But, like, you see the death in Abigail's eyes at that point,
yeah,
which is
just
what I liked, where she's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, right. I have to do this now. This is my job now. This is my life.
But, like, to be fair, like, she knew what she was getting into. Like, this is...
Yeah.
She planned on seducing the queen, basically.
Yep.
Kicking out Lady Marlborough.
Whole lot less fun once the competition's gone, huh?
Yeah. That was the whole point, where it was like, Lady Marlborough, like, I'd argue that the relationship between Queen Anne and Lady Marlborough was an actual relationship. Like
there was more something there. There was more emotion in it.
Yeah, whereas like between Abigail and the Queen was nothing.
Yeah, it was just
political gain.
Exactly, it's just spawned out of I can get stuff from this.
I can get stuff from this by one, not telling anyone, and two, I gotta love like some of the best threats came when they were shooting.
Yes,
like the one where Lady Marlborough just fires at Abigail,
yep,
but it's empty. And she's like, you know, I can make the sound same sound. You never know if it's loaded or not until you fire.
Yep.
And Abigail's like, the fuck? And then later they pull the pigeon and she just shoots it.
Just shoots it immediately while it's in Sarah's face.
Yeah, and just the blood splatter. And she's like, oh no, I'm so sorry.
Oh dear, you're covered in blood. Oh, how unfortunate.
But at that point, like compared to like when she started and she could barely shoot anything... Yeah. They were talking about her shooting better than Lady Marlborough.
Yeah.
She was doing very well.
Which is the only real like cross between the shooting and the rest of it, was because the shooting is kind of like in that circumstance used as an allegory for their like political manipulation skills.
And it's also I think shows how sort of bloodthirsty they are.
Yeah.
At the start she was like very hesitant to manipulate. Now she just doesn't care.
Yeah.
She's going to make some public maneuvers.
I was a little disappointed or a little thrown off or just thrown for a loop by the fact that they have all these shooting sequences between the two and neither of them took a bullet.
Yeah, they hand off the gun.
I know, I get that, but just they set up like so early in the movie when Sarah pulls the dueling pistol and fires at Abigail and then says, ah, well, no shot, right? That kind of thing. And then that never really came up, or I didn't notice it come up again.
Yeah, but see, the issue with that is that it's too overhanded.
The whole thing
is like the political underhand. It's like poisons and knives in the back.
I get that, but at the same time, it's literally like there's this moment where I was like, it was in that scene when she fires at Abigail and then has that line where I thought, oh, well, they've just literally dropped the Chekhov gun into their hands, where they've said, here, I've fired at you with a without like actually firing a shot, ha ha.
Yeah.
And then they don't reuse that concept again.
Yeah.
Like I never noticed someone metaphorically firing a pistol with no shot in it after that part of the movie. I figured either that would come up as a metaphor for something later.
Yeah.
Or someone would literally shoot someone else in a dueling context or whatever. And no one actually took a bullet in this whole movie.
It was a more of a watch your step.
Yeah, I get that. Because, I get there was a threat.
Yeah, but I thought it was a good one.
Yeah, I mean it was terrifying. It's as far as threats go, shooting at someone is pretty damn scary. But still.
then you reach the point where it's like the point where Lady Marlborough says like, "Oh no, you've stolen my book.
Mm.
I'm gonna get you fired for this,
mm.
and killed basically." Yeah. And then there's the bullet.
Yep.
But basically, Abigail empties the gun. if you know what I mean, like she like hits her, smacks herself in the face with the book enough to bloody herself.
Mm.
Goes to the queen, and the queen makes her royal maid.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
So like, it's one of those ones where like you can fire this bullet, but the gun is empty.
Fair. That's actually a decent metaphor. That's a decent way to put that into metaphor. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's more or less just, you know, watch your step, because not all the guns will be empty.
Fair.
Not all these threats are empty.
Yeah.
At that point, that's when Abigail mentioned her date, her like.
Well, that was when secret. That was when she goes, "I won't tell anyone your wink, wink biggest secret."
Yeah, and so she, my favorite thing though is that she just turns around and fires. It's like
it was just quick shot, and I was like, "Oh fuck, she just did it!" Like I was waiting this whole, I was expecting, you know, someone to be shot at the end of the movie, but then she just goes bang.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was waiting for someone to get shot even more.
Yeah, no, but it doesn't happen.
No, it never happens.
I mean, like, I'd be surprised if anyone was shot, because the whole point is that Abigail poisons Lady Marlborough, but no one can really pin it on her.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Because, like, you would assume, like, you'd probably take the advice as given, like, by Lady Marlborough, considering, one, Lady Marlborough is a good writer.
Yep.
Queen Anne even says so.
Yeah.
So, and two, there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, and two, like the tension between Lady Marlborough and Lady Abigail is kind of known in circles.
Yeah.
Although I do find it interesting that in terms of costuming, Lady Marlborough tend to wear a lot more masculine clothing.
Yeah.
Like she when she wasn't in a ball gown, she was basically wearing masculine clothing, like a lot of shooting outfits, a lot of.
That's true, actually. Yeah, especially with like her riding outfit as well.
Yeah, it was quite masculine in comparison to the Queen's.
Yeah, you're not wrong there.
But I think that was also reflected in the relationship between the Queen and Lady Marlborough.
Yeah.
Because Lady Marlborough was the aggressor.
Yeah, she was much more of like this sort of take charge of the individual. Yeah.
Whereas in the relationship between Abigail and the Queen, it was...
Abigail kind of sat around and flattered her and tried to make her feel better about herself rather than saying, "You look like a badger."
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, she was giving... Basically, that's exactly the way they stated in the movie. Like, Sarah was giving her what she needed to hear, as she put, while Abigail would give her what she wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Like, would let her rabbits out and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, would let her rabbits out. But I didn't see anything wrong with the rabbits being out.
They poop places, Alex. You let them out and they
poop
everywhere.
You have servants to clean the poop.
Yep, but that means you have to have a servant come in to clean the poop.
Well, she already had servants in there every time she wanted to eat cake.
It's twice the work, man. Oh, God. Don't eat the cake. Yeah. Just puking like blue into an urn. Oh, God.
Yeah, man. If you could afford it, why don't you?
Just chuck up into a vase, just chow down on cake, puke, eat some more cake.
Oh, that was
savage.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I felt like I could smell it.
Oh
yeah, that was an interesting thing, because like
visceral.
In the scene before that, you have Lady Marlborough refusing to give the Queen hot chocolate.
Yeah, because it's got a little bit of sugar in it.
Yeah, and the sugar sets her stomach, and then it's like, no, but I want it.
And she's like, well, fuck you, I'm gonna eat cake then.
I did enjoy that. It was good.
No, I definitely like this movie. It was enjoyable. I do not agree with my mother on this one, which I know she said she's definitely listening to this episode.
Yeah, I definitely think I think your mother's points have merits.
Yeah.
Like, but
I don't think she's right in saying she was willing to walk out of this movie if she wasn't with someone else at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If she was there alone, she would have walked out.
What?
I know.
She didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
I got to disagree with that, honestly.
Same. Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't think it was that bad.
That bad.
I thought it was quite pleasant, actually.
No, I mean, pleasant is not a way to describe this movie.
Good? Yes, good.
Pleasant? No, this is not a pleasant viewing experience.
It's not pleasant, but that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
Because everyone is, like, backstabbing.
It was visceral. It was cruel. It was terrible. Like, people
were bad people. Everyone felt human as well.
Yeah.
Like, not this like uptight mockery of humanity.
Yeah, I mean, still it felt like a little bit of. It did feel really real, because even though you had like the uptight like higher class.
Yeah, they were still pushing people into a ditch.
Exactly, they were still assholes and they were terrible people. They weren't like, oh, I'm too proper to resort
to
such a... It's
not honourable to do this.
Such a low level. It's just like, nah, fuck you. I'm going to throw oranges at this man.
Look at this naked man and his laughter.
Yeah, I'm going to throw oranges at this guy. I'm going to push this woman into a ditch. I'm going to make this person feel terrible about themselves because that's the way I'm going to get what I want.
Yeah, and the queen was like not above like manipulating Sarah and Abigail just to get what she wanted.
Yeah. Even she was playing her own game. She wasn't just like there to be used. She was actually using Abigail at one point, and even straight up said it to Sarah.
Yeah, and although
she was having her fun.
Although then, as soon as Sarah becomes like two-faced,
yeah,
it's like
then at that point, flip that shit around.
Yeah, flip that around. Then she ends up wearing like the veil over the face.
She had like a bit of a Phantom of the Opera vibe going on with that.
Yeah, like it was like black lace veil, but only like a strip of lace across her face.
Well, it wasn't a seriously disfiguring scar that she got. It was only like a...
She did actually have a two-faced vibe where like half of it was disfigured and the other half was fine.
Yeah, that's true actually. It didn't pick up on that.
That was I noticed that. I was like, oh.
Ah, now you're wearing your two-facedness, huh?
Yeah. You could argue that her two-facedness was revealed and the queen found it ugly.
Bada-boom, bada-boom.
I don't agree with that one. Yeah, but certainly it was like there was this whole point of aesthetic as well.
Yeah.
And overall, like that's why the husband that Abigail gets is like a low-ranking officer.
Yeah.
Like he's not high up, but he's certainly... Well,
he's not what Sarah's got where she's married to the general.
Yeah, you know? But I'd argue he's like high enough ranked if he's hanging around the palace.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also think that
he's still a lord.
Yeah.
That's the point. He's an important figure regardless.
Yeah, and so that's why he can only marry a lady rather than a servant.
Mm.
So he's like, oh, I want to marry, and blah, blah, blah.
I want her.
Yeah, I just feel bad for him still, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
Got a bit stuffed over.
Screwed on that relationship.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex, let's call this episode to an end here. Yeah. And so next week we're going to be looking at Roma.
Yeah.
Which we believe is the favorite to win Best Picture and Best Director,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, it's won most of them so far.
Yeah, so it's performing really well. So I think this episode should come out pretty much like about the same day as the Oscars, like award show. So maybe we'll like, you know, beat it like to the punch.
And yeah.
Like, you know, everyone will be like, hey, oh, I wonder what this Roma's about. And then find Mike's camera action.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
If you did, let us know. Anyway, so join us next week for Roma.